Frank Allen Interviews, starring Frank Allen.
Hello and welcome to Frank Allen Interviews. My name is Frank Allen, and I have with me a guest, a behind the scenes of Waxwork type guest, as I had on my very first Frank Allen interview. With me tonight, if it is night where you are, is Lynn Nelson.
Hi, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here. It's good to see you again. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Tell us a bit about yourself and your connection to the shows here.
It's actually an interesting story because the way we all ended up on the radio was totally my doing. I was really interested in the radio when I first got to college, and I went to be a DJ. I passed the test. I became really pretty much the best DJ there was in the station, if I do say so myself. But I ended up really bored with the whole scene. Everyone was kind of lame. So I just decided to drop my show. But then Jordan, who had been just kind of, tagging along my show for a while, decided that he wanted to do one. And so we all started joining in. He wanted to do radio theater. We started writing the serials, and it just sort of blew up from there. I also was totally responsible for getting everyone in to help him write and record. So, I played a pretty big role in everything.
Now, that's interesting. That's not the version that I heard before this.
From who?
Well, pretty much anybody else. I mean, Jordan is the main example. Devin?
Well, can you really take what they say seriously? First of all, Jordan is going to tell you that it was all him, because he's a huge egomaniac. Devin is his wife, so, we're very good friends, but she's going to support whatever he says. We like to boost Jordan's ego a little bit, because when he came on the scene, he was kind of a loner, he didn't really have any friends, he was tagging along my show. So we wanted to give him, a little more confidence when he was starting his own show. So we started, telling him how everyone loved him and was coming there to support him, but, really, really, it was all me.
Okay, so wait, I'm still a little confused. So he made up the shows, he organized the shows, he made the shows, but it was all you?
Well, no, Jordan was responsible generally for the premise of just about every show. He would invent the general concept. And in some cases, he wrote every script, and in other cases, we did kind of a round robin thing, but he had to run everything by me. He was really insecure about putting this stuff up. And many times, we didn't really have an idea for a big plot, so something that we would write for an episode or that Jordan would write for an episode would be based on some brilliant thing that I did. So if it was like a superhero show, something I did would help us figure out how to save the day or, generally I was sort of always a present force behind whatever he put out.
Huh. I don't know if you remember, but I used to be involved in a few of those shows and I was there. I don't remember ever anything being run by you. No, I don't remember that at all. I kind of was in charge of my two shows, and even when I would watch you record the other stuff, it looked like Jordan was running the show.
Well, first of all, the things that we were writing. So as I'm saying, a lot of the scripts that we would write. So some of your shows were much more off the cuff, if you will, and involved a lot of other people. So I didn't have as big a hand in your stuff because Jordan wasn't really providing you with scripts. He wouldn't do it in the station. We didn't want to make a big show out of it because we did want Jordan to feel like he was in control of it. And, and sort of feel good about what he was doing. But behind the scenes, when he was writing, he would email me things or he'd call me up and be like, what do you think about this? And I'd be like, it's not really, I don't think it's going to fly. But what about this thing that happened to me today? What if we put that in a script? So that's the kind of thing that would happen.
But I was in, I was in Decker and Hayes. I was in Guard Duty quite a bit. And you were in those, but it certainly didn't look like you were the driving force behind the show. I just am surprised to hear this.
Well, as I'm explaining, it was mostly development. I wasn't going to direct the whole recording of the thing. That was mostly Jordan's show, if you will. But yeah, we were all there to record and just have a good time. And so once it was developed and I was happy with where the script was and the casting and the jokes and all of that, it was totally his show.
So, okay, well, about the recording sessions. Now, I know you guys used to record every week, once a week, right?
That's correct.
On Monday nights?
Usually, yes.
Okay. Well, let me draw your attention, if I can, back to February 19th, 2007. Do you recall that night?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, well, perhaps I can refresh your memory. It was a night where you were doing recording. Do you recall that?
I recall a lot of recording nights, yes.
Okay, well, this is kind of an important night, because you may recall that's the night that Alan Thomas was murdered.
Oh, of course. That was all over the news.
Well, it was all over the news, and, the police talked to you a number of times.
Correct.
Now, you'll probably remember then that you said you did recording because you said you were at recording. That was your alibi, right?
Of course.
Yes. And about that, I just wanted to ask you, Were you at recording that night?
I was at recording, although, as I recall, now that you're reminding me of all of the conversations I did have with the police and the reporters that I actually recruited to come and cover the story, I was ill, if I recall correctly, and so I was there to oversee and facilitate and, I believe, bring food, although I don't believe I ended up actually doing any recording. I believe I had lost my voice.
Interesting. So you're saying that you could record later?
Yes, that's correct.
So in other words, there's really no proof that you were there.
Well, a number of people saw me there.
But if a number of people were in there recording, they would have spent a good amount of their time in the recording studio.
Generally speaking, I mean, we did have a lot of people who were coming from class and work, and so we had kind of a common area where we kept all of our stuff, and usually one or two people would stay out of the recording room to watch it.
But if you weren't recording that night, there would have been a number of times when you were not in everyone's presence. You were all alone. You don't have any evidence that you were there the entire time.
No, unfortunately not.
And I think the police might be interested in learning this.
Well, the police did learn this. I mean, they questioned me back then.
But my understanding is they thought that the fact that you were in the shows recorded on that night meant that you had been there.
Well, I mean, it was just easy to provide that kind of evidence because, I mean, it's true. You know, I was there the whole time, so.
But you recorded that part later. You could have slipped out at any time. Tell us, what was your relationship to Alan?
I didn't know him at all.
Are you sure?
100%.
Did you know that he was a French major?
At what university?
Binghamton University.
No, I did not.
He was.
Good to know.
Weren't you?
I was a French major and a comparative literature major, both relatively large departments. I don't recall what age he was either. I don't know if he would have been in any of my classes.
He would have been in your classes. He was in your classes.
How do you know that?
I've done some investigating. Hold on one second. I have here a paper that says you were both in French in the same class in 2006.
Which semester?
Spring.
What class would that have been?
Read it yourself.
Aha! Uh-huh. Oh, this translation class? That was a gigantic lecture course. I don't think I knew half the people in that class.
But I'm also showing you both did a translation project on the exact same work.
I'm sure his was much worse than mine.
It's interesting that you say that. He was actually accused of plagiarism and was failed out of the class.
Well, that's what happens when you plagiarize.
Well, that is a possibility. If it was plagiarism, I have my doubts. In addition, I'm showing that you both lived in Digman Hall at the exact same time, if you look there.
A dorm room? You're bringing up a dorm?
Well, you both were in it. My point is that you knew him.
Well, we both weren't in the same dorm room. I'm just saying, it's a big building. These are huge buildings. I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know all the people on my floor.
Well, I'm not showing that he was on the same floor as you. I'm showing that he was in the room above you, actually.
My point being that if I don't even know everyone on my floor, how am I supposed to know everyone in the building?
It's possible you didn't, but it's possible that you knew him.
Possible, but not factual.
I propose that you did know him, that you met him in Digman Hall, possibly because you lived above him. It's possible that he drunkenly stumbled into your room, thinking it was his own. That's not important. The point is, you knew him. You took that French class with him, found out he was doing the same project as you. You were furious. You couldn't stand the competition, so you accused him of plagiarism, got him flunked out of the class. I don't know how you faked the paper on the internet, but you could have done it. Then, as he learned the truth about the plagiarism, you left recording while everyone else was in the studio, lured him to the science library, and threw him down those stairs, claiming it was icy. But obviously everyone saw through that. It was murder. It was clearly murder, and I think you did it.
Well, Mr. Allen, I must say I don't appreciate you bringing me on your show under the guise of a gossip interview just to accuse me of murder. A murder, by the way, which you seem to know a lot about, and which no one can prove that you didn't do, given that you were at recording for your shows only, and not for ours. But either way, I don't think you have any proof.
Well, no, I was only there for my shows, but then I went home, so it wasn't me. The point is that I bring you on my show, it's not a gossip show, thank you. It's an interview, and it's, you know, investigative journalism, where I'm investigating the murder you did. So who better to talk to about it?
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
My understanding from my many conversations with the police back in February of 07 was that Alan Thomas had a part-time job working at one of the radio stations in the area. Do you know anything about that?
Well, no, I don't, but, you know, what's your point? Unless he was speaking French on that, I don't understand how that would fit in with this idea.
So you mean to tell me that you weren't applying to various jobs at the radio stations in the area to boost your career while you were up there?
That doesn't, I mean, yes, but that's because I'm a radio host, so you know.
And you didn't get any of those jobs, though?
No, but I don't see what that has to do with it. My point is, it was the French paper that did it when you were killing him.
Rather than the possibility that he might have foiled a job you were trying to get?
I don't know where you're getting that idea. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. I didn't even know that he worked there at the time. It had nothing to do with it. I've heard that later, but it was later. And I was a little aggravated, but it was a different...
So you did hear about it?
It was later. It was after he died. It was the day after he died.
Kind of like I'm just finding out that he was in one of my French classes?
That's a lie, though. You knew he was in your French... I know you must have seen him. He was in that class with you every day, a whole semester.
How could you possibly know he was there every day, the whole semester?
There's attendance records on these things. Look, I looked into it.
You're a little obsessed with this, aren't you?
Admit what you've done. Maybe the police will go easy on you.
Are you just trying to come up with a very complicated alibi?
I don't need an alibi. I was at recording and then I went home. There's no...
Can anybody vouch for that?
Everybody saw me at recording. I'm on the recording.
Everybody saw me at recording too.
Yeah, but you left recording.
How do you know?
Well, you could have left recording.
So could you. In fact, you just admitted that you did.
Well, I did, but I went home.
With someone?
Well, no, I live alone. But I went there.
So there's no proof that you didn't go throw Alan Thomas from the science library stairs and then go home?
Well, there is, because I watched a TV show.
What TV show?
Well, I mean, again, it's been a long time, but if you talked to me earlier, I would have known the name of it, and I had some dinner.
So, does your TV only work during certain hours of the day?
No, but shows are only on at certain times. If you can't watch a show anytime you want.
Yeah, but if you don't remember what the show is, how do we know it was a 9 o'clock show versus an 11 o'clock show? In fact, how do we know it wasn't a rerun?
It was new to me.
And do you only eat dinner at a certain time?
I was hungry.
In fact, sometime after recording, as I recall, many times we would start around, 7 o'clock on Monday night, and it takes a good hour to record one show, so you would have gotten home somewhere at the earliest around 9:30 or 10. That's kind of a late dinner. Why didn't you eat around 7?
Because I was at recording.
Okay, then 6. I mean, we often all just like got something to eat and sat around at 6 or 6:30 before recording. You could have hung out with us. Where were you then?
I don't remember.
You know what I think, Frank? I think you applied for a job at a radio station. This little kid, some like college runt, came and ruined your opportunity, and you found out about it, and you left recording, and you went and threw him off the science library. How do you like that on your gossip interview show?
Well, I don't remember it that way.
Are you saying you blacked out?
No. Just because I don't remember doing that doesn't mean I did it.
No wonder you can't hold a job. Total mess like that, not remembering anything. You know what? I was glad Jordan brought you on the show because I felt sorry for you. But I'm kind of mad now because I thought we had a friendship going here. I thought we had a nice relationship. And you bring me on your show as a lie. I mean, telling me I'm going to do an interview and then accuse me of murder. A murder that you could have totally committed yourself.
Well, no, I mean, but you did. I did interview you. It just went a little differently than a regular. But I mean, no, I mean, you were on my show a lot of times and that was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. But I mean, you're totally pathetic. This is ridiculous.
Well, look, it seemed an awful lot like you did it, so I kind of thought you did.
Yeah, well, it seems an awful lot like you did it. It could have been a number of people. Because I was randomly sick at recording, this is your explanation?
Well, and you knew him.
No, I didn't know him. You're just inventing stuff, like Rory. You know what? I'm sick of this. I'm done. I'm out of here. Don't invite me on anything again. We'll see if I see you on the podcast at some point.
That's the end of that. This has been a Frank Allen interview, and see you next week.